Today's scripture reading is 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 9. Praise to God for a living hope. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Thank you to Angela for our scripture reading and for Sue for our song. First solo song on the new sound system was you, right? So you get to, we'll make a plaque, we'll get you to sign it. Thank you for also pointing out our special guests who are here with us this morning. Very appropriate, actually, with our topic today that we bring up these ladies who have had a strong commitment to our church for many, many years. I think them being here and saying something, as you're going to find that it really resonates with our message today. Before I jump into that, we did with our daughter Alexis, who's 18, just graduated, we did a UMKC orientation visit yesterday. And so I am trying not to look as emotionally exhausted on the inside. On the outside is what I kind of feel on the inside, but it was, man, it was a lot. And it was kind of stressful. And, you know, they get the precious gift of my daughter from me, and then they want to charge me on top of it. Can you believe that? Like, her, they're taking her, and they want my bank account. And so, guess we'll figure that out. It's going to be worth it. But it was an exciting day. She'll go to be on in class on the 19th of August. And so, whatever you're sensing from me today, you can amplify that by 10 on the 21st when I'm here that Sunday. I'm sure it'll be a challenging weekend. If you want to see her cry, just hug her on the 21st, and that's all it'll take. She'll just, and I tend to like to do that as well, so you're not, it's not just you. So we're very proud of her and looking forward to her opportunities. So, well, today I want to talk to you about something I see as most central to us as Christians, and that is our individual and communal work of faithfulness. Faithfulness. When I started ministry, I think I would have said what was most central to us was the gospel. Our understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the explaining of the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the responding to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is our understanding of how God is working in the world is the gospel. It was the good news that Jesus came to preach to those who were hungry, sick, poor, hopeless, and lost. For the Apostle Paul, the gospel was and is the mechanism of our salvation. To understand how that salvation occurs through Jesus' death upon the cross, for the salvation for all those who have faith, right? And so the gospel message is the important story and understanding of God's work to reconcile a broken, lost world to himself. That is the gospel. It's his plan. It's his execution. It's his work. Our work, our action is faith. It's faith. Faithfulness to his plan, belief in his execution of the plan, faith in his work in our lives, faithfulness to God, faithfulness to the church, the little C church. Our little C church is First United Methodist Church here in Lebanon, and faithfulness to the big C church, faithfulness to the Christian faith, United Methodist, Baptist, Catholics, non-denominational, etc. We are all a part of the big C church. And it's my belief that one of the reasons churches can decline in size, and there are many reasons, folks, many reasons, but one of the reasons is because it can get away from the basics of teaching faithful Christian living. Faithful Christian living. Like, how do we do this? And sometimes it's like teaching someone to walk when you've been running for 65 years. You've been walking for 65 years. It's like, walking, I don't know, Pastor Jim, like you put the left foot out and the right foot out and then the left foot out and boom, right? You begin to walk. It sometimes is difficult for someone who has been hiking and jumping and swimming and playing soccer to stop and explain to somebody else how we go about this thing called walking. And yet, no one learns to run or jump or play soccer without first learning to walk. To take these little steps, right? And so I think one of the challenges of being a healthy, vital church from that perspective is to encourage opportunities for all people to hike and jump and swim and run, but to never get your focus off the primary importance of teaching people how to walk and to begin walking. A great example of that, a church that's not too far from us, about 3 hours, Church of the Resurrection in Leawood, Kansas. At the end of September, we have some staff, some lay leaders who are going to go to something called the Leadership Institute at Church of the Resurrection. If you're interested in attending that, we would love for you to come. We've even approved some scholarships in order for people to learn about church leadership. They've got a bunch of different deals. And so just come talk to me if you're interested in doing that on the 28th through the 30th. Church Resurrection does this because they're one of the largest United Methodist churches in the United States. One of the ways they grew so large is through their use of something called Disciple Bible Study. Has anybody heard, if you've heard of Disciple Bible Study? Got some. Disciple Bible Study is a year-long, pretty intense study of the Bible, the whole Bible. And offering this study, they offer it as an introduction to the faith life. Here's kind of, this is how we understand Christianity. But it also teaches the basic understanding of how to read the Bible and what the Bible means. But it also includes this wonderful small group of people that you're doing Christian life with. Right? Like you're understanding the scriptures, you're sharing your understanding of scriptures with these other people. It's your faith community to offer prayer requests with and concerns and to grow with. And so the foundation of their church was poured with disciple Bible study programs. And they used to have tons of them that they offered all week long. They are now a 30-year-old church, and they're much larger, and they're doing many more things. But you can find today that they're still offering disciple Bible study classes. And they never stop offering that core class. The same study every year for new people, but also for people who just want to renew their faith and to go a little bit deeper in what it means to have this faithfulness to God. The fervor for never getting too far away from teaching people the basics of faithful living to God is what we call an apostolic gift. An apostolic gift. The apostles were chosen by Jesus to be leaders of the faith movement that he was creating, Christianity. And so they would be the ones to start up new churches, to raise up Christians in the faith life. And so today's scripture comes from 1 Peter. It's a letter written by him, the Apostle Peter, to many new churches, many young churches. And even though these churches, they're off and running, right? They're running. He wants to remind them to remember the important things about being faithful to God. The Apostle Peter, the rock and foundation of the church, wants to challenge you today as well with this passage, with this letter. And so a couple things, regardless of whether you've been faithful to Christ, it's just been a year for you, starting out your Christian faith, or 80 years, right? You've been faithful to Christ, to church for 80 years. This should help you experience a greater sense of faithfulness to God and to church. The first thing the Apostle Peter teaches his churches about being faithful for life is to rejoice and praise God because you are a new creation in Christ. You are a new creation in Christ. In our section of Scripture, Peter, if you heard it, you might have heard it, Peter says praise or rejoice in that section four times. Four times, praise or rejoice. Why so much praising or rejoicing? Peter, why are we so excited? What are we so happy about? Well, because in his great mercy, in God's great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish or spoil or fade. That came from verses 3 and 4 that we read. You know, the past couple of weeks, I've talked about how the children of God are called into the family business, right? Past 2 weeks, I've talked about the family business. Well, being a part of the family business also means you have the benefit of the family inheritance. You are receiving an inheritance. Now, some of you are probably very aware of both the blessing and the curse of an inheritance. Yeah? In order to get an inheritance, it means that someone had to have died and gone on to be with the Lord, right? And so this is true for us as Christians as well, with what we're talking about, with salvation, right? Jesus died that we might receive an inheritance and have eternal life just as he is eternal. And once again, another death. Once we die, we will inherit new eternal forms. These new eternal forms, they will not perish or spoil or fade away. Which is going to be amazing because guess what? This body is perishing and spoiling and fading away, which is no fun, is it? Right? Like getting old ain't for sissies is a phrase that I hear often. It's a little challenging. One of the most basic pieces of the Christian faith is remembering that our joy, the thing inside of us, is found in our salvation and our eternal promise, the inheritance. Death is not the end, it's the beginning. And Peter goes on to say, he says, this is that your inheritance through faith is shielded by God's power until revealed in the last or end times. And that came from verses 4 or 5. Through the power of your faith, God protects your eternal reward. I'll say it again. Through the power of your faith, God protects your eternal reward. So we as faith people, we live our lives in such a way that celebrates this great mystery. Because it is a mystery how it all works, isn't it? And so it starts for us here. It starts for us in this worship service. And so we gather on Sundays and we pray it up and we praise it up and we lift it up and we give it up in order to get warmed up for Monday through Saturday. Yeah? That's the goal here. And so Sunday morning is a one-hour metaphor for the rest of our Christian faith and work during the week. Friends, I know you may not every once in a while like a hymn or a song that some may not be one of your favorites, but you know what? You sing it loud and proud because you're faithful. That's the response of faithful people. You may not agree with everything that comes out of the preacher's mouth. I can't imagine why. But you may not. Maybe a dud every once in a while, but you sit there and you listen. You do your best to learn because you're faithful. And that's just your response. God's not done with the preacher. He's not done with you. We're all these works in progress in this thing called faithfulness. So we all do our best to celebrate on Sunday and every other day that we have these eternal forms that are waiting for us, these new bodies, and they will not fade away, which makes sense because everything of this world and this universe even is fading. And so be encouraged, church. Right? Somebody need to hear this morning. Be encouraged. Let God your Father lift you up today. Feel his encouragement this morning. See beyond this physical world that we're in. See into the spiritual. Believe that he has done it and is doing it and will do it and celebrate it in this place. And friends, here's what I know. It's always hardest to do what I just asked you to do when you're experiencing the next thing that I think Peter teaches us about, that he's teaching his churches about. And that is to learn to suffer well, because suffering reveals your faith and gives glory to God. The Apostle Peter, the Apostle Paul, they're both very much in agreement on this, right? Suffering is a necessary tool to strengthen your faith. Doing the hard things for the greatest results is true of most everything in our lives. This principle applies to everything else. I'll give you some examples. You want to lose weight? Then eat healthy food and exercise. Do those hard things. You'll lose some weight. You want to get better at something. You want to prove at something, you know, for our college students who are getting ready to head off and do new things. If you want to get better at something, then pour hours of your free time into learning and practicing that thing, and you will become a professional in it if you give yourself to it. Do you want to get out of debt? Are you deep in debt? You're trying to figure out how to get out of debt. Well, then stop spending money needlessly. Only spend what you have to spend. If you need to get a second job, get that second job. Do those hard things. Friends, if you want to grow in faith, if you want to develop deeper places of faith within yourself, learn to suffer well. Learn to suffer well. And what I mean by that is to give thanks to God for his love, for his goodness. Even in those times when you're struggling, you're sad, you're numb, you're angry, you're hurt, you can't feel God anymore. Pastor Jim, I pray. I don't know if he's listening. I don't feel him. Peter says, he says this. He says, look, in all this you greatly rejoice, though now for just a little while. He's talking about our nature as people, right? The human experience. For a little while, you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. And these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Verses 6 and 7. Your faithfulness to God when you suffer is like gold to him. Not that you suffer. Not that he's like, yay, that's like gold. They're suffering. That'd be horrible, right? But your ability to choose faith and faithful response and faithful belief and faithful action through those challenges, that is what is like gold to him. And suffering, here's what I know, and maybe there's one of you that have escaped this. Suffering to me seems to be a universal part of being a person. Like you live long enough, you're going to suffer in new ways, in hard ways. Regardless of nationality, of gender, your financial means, those who are very poor, those who are very rich, previous health history, what your health history has been. You live long enough, everyone is going to suffer and enter into suffering. I feel like it's actually, the older you get, you realize it's one of the most basic parts of being a person. It's one of the most basic parts of being human, and it feels like somebody should have better prepared us, right? Like, I just don't remember in school anybody kind of teaching me, or my even parents, like, talking too much about the challenge of suffering well. But the Bible talks about it a lot. And as far as I'm concerned, it should really be a part of, it's like Christianity 101 level, that as Christians we should learn suffering will come, learn to suffer well and to be faithful. And we're going to help you do that. We're going to show you how to do that. Within the past couple of weeks, a renowned televangelist, health, wealth, prosperity pastor, he has apologized for just about every sermon, book, and video he's ever recorded in his life. 6 years ago, he tried to convince his 30,000-member congregation to buy him a $65 million jet for his ministry traveling needs. If we could bring the plates down, pass them around one more time. Just kidding. Maybe the phrase health, wealth, prosperity, maybe that's new to you. Maybe you haven't heard that phrase before. And it's a teaching. I heard it about 25 years ago for the first time is when I heard it. At its core, the Christian health, wealth, prosperity movement that is alive across the world, it's not just, and it's mainly kind of Pentecostal groups, sects that kind of have this. It teaches that faithful people, you're really faithful to God, you're tithing, you're offering up your prayers, you're in the Word, that you're actually going to suffer little. That God will help you avoid much of life's suffering. And as a matter of fact, financially, you're going to prosper more, right? You give that tithe, and you're planting that, you're gonna financially prosper through the blood of Jesus Christ. We're gonna claim it, right? Maybe you've been on those TV channels late at night too. Friends, I gotta tell you, it is an incredibly attractive interpretation of the scriptures, but one that needs a lot of theological massaging to kind of make it work and sound right, and to help people buy into it. And when I first heard of it, like I said, 25 years ago, I first heard about it. I have to admit, at first it sounded really good to me. I'm like, oh, where do I sign up for this? Like, I never read it that way, but yeah, I guess you could understand it that way. The problem because it does not match up with everything that the Apostle Peter, the Apostle Paul taught about suffering. You see, suffering does something for the faithful follower of God. It's doing something in us. It's not something that we're particularly enjoy, that we're like, yes, Lord, bring on the suffering so that I can grow in my faithfulness. But it is something that we need. Suffering teaches us humility. It tempers our arrogance, our selfishness, our pride. It teaches us that we need one another. I need you, you need me, the church. We need one another. And when we hurt and we experience sadness, we need community to help us through that sadness and through those challenges. It teaches us that we aren't in control. We aren't in control. But God is our shield. He is our rock. Even when anxiety levels are high, even when stress is high, even when all those things are high, depression, whatever it might be, suffering well leads to our maturity and dependence on God and community. And in the words of Peter, you are refined by fire, and the good that is left after the fire is to God's glory. They even talk about this in terms of our judgment. That in our judgment, all of our good deeds are burnt like a refining fire. And what is left, the good that is left, that gold that is left, that is to God's glory in the next life. Church, the truth about faithfulness is that it demands something hard of you. Just about everybody is spiritual. Like, everybody today is spiritual, but I find that few want to be faithful. Because spirituality, it tends to not ask much of you. I mean, in its purest form. Spirituality is for you. It's about you. And when you want it, you pull it out of the drawer and you use it. When you don't want it, you put it in the drawer. You can leave it there until the next time. Faithfulness is a commitment to practices and beliefs that are hard in the moment, but most rewarding in the long haul. Most rewarding to you. Most rewarding to a body of people that are in connection to you. Church is a principle, once again, checks out in every other area of your life. I mean, we know it to be true in all the things. Good things come in life when you commit yourselves to hard things. The hard thing in Christianity is not believing. I mean, maybe we thought it was, that if I just believe in Jesus Christ and his death and his resurrection, the hard thing is not believing. You'll find that the hard thing is being faithful. Yeah. He's with me. Being faithful brings with it a reward, right? There's a reward for your faithfulness. God and the church are here to help you to be faithful, if you will let them. If you will let them help. So I want to end with a challenge today. Here's a challenge for you. What does it look like for you to find greater joy in your faithfulness to God and your church? Because that's kind of the secret, right? Like, when we can find joy in hard things, like, it's a win. But when we're doing things and it's never joyful, it's a struggle. You want to lose weight, you want to feel healthier, then learn to enjoy eating better food. Learn to enjoy exercise. Find some joy in doing the hard things that are going to be better for you. You want to pay off debt, you want to learn to save money, then celebrate your milestones. Celebrate those achievements when you pay something down or you save some money. Find a little cheap way to celebrate, to say, woohoo, look what we did, right? Yay us. So do you want to experience greater depths of joy in worship during the week amidst hardships? Then find ways to joyfully meet with God, right? And sometimes the problem with that, the reason we don't joyfully meet with God during the week, is sometimes it's a time and priorities issue. And so, Jim, I don't have time for that. It's not a priority for me. And sometimes it's an attitude issue, right? Jim, I do it. I don't know that I just, you know, I'm just not, you know, so how do I adjust my attitude here? So which might be the problem for you? If this is a challenge for you, is it about time and priorities, or is it about attitude, or is it about both? Well, I've got some ideas, right? Here's some ideas, part of this challenge, where God and community intersect in faithfulness. Okay, here's how we can be faithful. We can be faithful by being joyfully present and participating in worship. Like, there's action and attitude right there, right? The action is be in worship. Good for you. Y'all did it. Woo! Right? The attitude is being joyfully here. I don't want to point anybody out today, but no, I'm just kidding. Right? Joyfully present, participating in worship. Second, reading the scriptures and never leaving the scriptures before asking God what God is saying to you through his word, right? So it's one thing to just read it for information, but read it with an expectation that God is going to speak something to you. That's your attitude as you go about that action. Again, here's another one. Sharing your suffering or burdens with a faith friend and praying together, right? Because you're going through the trial right now. It's hard right now. You're suffering right now, and you're not sharing that with anyone. Is there someone in our faith community, a friend, another faith community, is there somebody that you can share that burden with? And then on the flip side of that, right, encouraging or praying for a faith friend who is suffering. And so maybe you know somebody that's having a particular challenging time right now, and you could call them, offer them a prayer, offer them some help. offer them some support. So friends, those are just a few ideas for you to move deeper into the presence and the joy, because we want it to be joyful, of being a faithful follower of God. And as your pastor, I want you to know that I am thankful for the level of faith that is present here in our church. Right? I believe this church to be a faithful church. I see evidence of your joy in faith in all areas and facets of our church, in the life of our church. And so what I ask is just to continue to be faithful to God and to try and encourage faithfulness in others. Because this is a team deal. It's a team deal. There are people today who need this support and they're not asking for it. And so pray about that. Who do you know that needs help right now? Needs to be encouraged and being faithful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, for this morning, for this opportunity to show, to demonstrate our joyful worship because we are faithful to you. Lord, there are folks in here this morning, they have challenges and are suffering in ways they have not revealed to very many people. And so, Lord, a special prayer for my brother and sister in Christ who is here and who is suffering in a particularly hard way right now. Lord, help us all to get through this life with our faith intact. Our faith to you, our faith to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, we cannot do this without you. We cannot do this without the power of your Holy Spirit. We cannot do it without the person in the pew across from us. Help us to do this, Lord. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.